The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
You know, one of the things about last night's game, a 29-28 win by the Chargers over the Chiefs, I think it's telling that the game in the last 4 minutes of where the Chargers scored two touchdowns and went for the two-point conversion for the win really says a lot about that the moment for that team when they had momentum and they felt like, you know what, we're going to win it here. There's no need to even contemplate this. We're going to take it. I wish more coaches would do this. There seems to be this belief in the NFL. You see it a lot where coaches will punt like with on fourth and one and fourth and inches, even in the territory of their opponent, because they're so afraid of being told or being asked and second guessed by the fan base and whatnot. And you need sometimes coaches to be bolder than we would pretend to be. Many of us, if we were just magically transported to an NFL sideline, would probably panic in those situations and not have the guts to go for it because, you know, the weight of the moment would be big. I hate when they do that. I just hate when coaches punt on fourth and one or fourth and inches thinking that, well, I don't want to have to answer for this. Anthony Lynn would have had a ton to answer for if that had failed. He would have had a ton to answer for. But the reality of it is that he could have stood at the podium and said, I would have done it 1,000 times. I would have done that every single time. Mike Vrabel did this. One of the wins the Chargers had this season was in London where Mike Vrabel went for two and didn't convert. But he said exactly the same thing. I would have done it time and time again. I want more bolder coaches. I don't want more coaches capitulating to the talk radio crowd, the crowd that is demanding answers, the crowd that would second guess you no matter what. I want coaches to be higher than the fans. I want coaches to be higher than the game. You're the experts. You do what you think best. Don't think for a second. You know, like I would never go into another profession and tell people, why are you doing it this way? Why not do it that way? We think we know this sport. We think we do. But the reality of it is we don't know the players and the coaches do. We don't know the mood or the temperature of the sidelines. Anthony Lynn knew it. Everybody on that sideline said, we're going for it. And that's how you'd answer the critics if they challenged you if you had failed.
Guys, the holidays are quickly approaching. Don't wait until the last minute to get a gift. Head over to giftingmap.com today. Giftingmap.com. Back to SB Nation AM.
on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, glad you could join us, SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio. I apparently have been missing this gem of a commercial on television. Ron's telling me this has been aired a lot. I have been missing it. It is the Rob Gronkowski Tide commercial. How have I missed this?
I saw it last night,
and I love it.
You're fast-forwarding through commercials too much.
I must be. So Rob Gronkowski is pitching the Tide Pods last night, and I said, "Oh my God, this is a television jewel." Here is Rob Gronkowski making his pitch to get your clothes cleaner.
Welcome to Tide Pods Talk with Gronk. I'm Gronk. I'm big and awesome. But this guy is little. Can it really clean? Heck yeah, it can. It's concentrated detergent plus stain fighters plus odor fighters that fight for clean. Boom!
Ugh.
Even this entire bottle can't beat Tide Pods. And now a word from future Gronk.
Ugh.
Tide Pods. If it's clean, it's got to be Tide.
He takes a whole bottle and he pours it in. He goes, even a whole bottle doesn't. This guy's great. Oh,
like
Rob Gronkowski.
I like the sound effects.
I love you. He's flexing his muscles. I'm big and I'm awesome. Tide Pods. He is a Madison Avenue gold. But the way he was reading the kind of important part of the Tide Pods, right? Because there's one thing where he's like, "Look, hey, cool, yay." But then he's reading the description of it. It sounds like all day they were trying to get him to like be more casual, and then eventually just gave up and said, "Just read it from the teleprompter." Which reminded me of I don't know, another celebrity doing endorsements.
Feast after shave, take one.
Action.
Go now.
Action.
In the morning, I splash it on, and it makes me smell mainly.
Smell mainly? Cut. Smell manly? Can you read that, Ron?
Yeah.
Let's go again.
Well, excuse
Once
me.
Again, fellas.
You know, I know I said it wrong, but it really don't smell manly. I mean, do you think this stuff smells like a man? I'd say absolutely no.
Are you finished?
I'm sorry.
Okay, rolling again.
Nice and quiet.
Feast after shave, take two.
Action.
In the morning, I splash it on, and it surrounds my face with class.
Cut.
And beast after shave will turn the women into beasts.
Cut. Action.
If you want to be the king of the beast and smell like a jungle rat, cat, rat, cat, they look a little like.
Action.
In the afternoon, when I put it on to go out with the guys and have a rendezvous.
Cut! Cut! We're cutting the set. We're going to the alternate set.
New deal.
I can get
That's
it,
what I was thinking.
I'm sure you can. Will you get out of the
word
cage?
Rendezvous.
Yes, rendezvous over to the other set, Rock, if you don't mind.
Sure.
We've only wasted 4 hours. Arthur, let's...
All right, that was basically what I was reminded of, that scene in Rocky II.
I had to keep, like, we've only wasted 4 hours.
I know!
Because that's what I'm imagining with Gronk.
Right, with Gronk. It's like, okay, Gronk, we're going to get you... All right, ready? We need you to say it's got a lot of power-packed deodorant, and we need you to say it's going to get your clothes clean, kind of in a flow. Oh, what do you mean? Okay, it's got a lot of power. Okay, now flex those muscles again. Okay, and say boom, and say wow, and pour the whole bottle into the washing machine.
And ugh.
Gronkowski, he's fantastic. That is so funny.
Because you know what I think? When I'm watching this, I'm like, okay, can this guy become Peyton Manning? Because let's face it, you know, we look at these guys who are great athletes and then are able to transition into entertainment. Peyton Manning's really the only person I can think of that has been able to do that.
Oh, he's been Peyton Manning commercials. He's as good as any celebrity actor.
Those was it Nationwide commercials with Brad Paisley?
Yeah, he's doing the Brad Paisley.
Fantastic.
Hilarious. And his timing is good. And when he goes, yes, I am, we are in a band. Like, he's very talented at the acting.
I mean, I know Aaron Rodgers gets a lot of FaceTime with State Farm. Clay Matthews is, I've seen him in other things other than those State Farm commercials as well. But, you know, I mean, aside from local, I know you have a lot of Titans on your TV, you know, like where we have the Astros and Rockets and Texans gracing our television. But I'm looking for, like, you know, is there an athlete right now that could become a breakout star? And I can only think of one that could be, and that's Von Miller.
Yeah, Von Miller's pretty good. Yeah, he's pretty good. He does.
But that's
good.
It.
But that's it, right?
And I'm thinking of all sports. I can't think of an athlete like in the NBA right now that would stand out.
Yeah, do you remember when like Tom Brady doesn't do like endorsement, like he doesn't do commercials, like full commercials. He like appears in a few.
No, but
that's it.
Anytime, remember when he what was it? He was promoting Uggs for men.
Yeah.
He got blasted for that.
I know, exactly.
And I think that swore him off. He's like, you know what? I'll let my wife do the modeling and endorsements. I'll just stick to football.
He did he was promoting, what was the name of the car? It was a Dodge car, like a Dodge Dart, I think it was called. It was kind of an expensive car.
He wasn't doing a Dodge Dart.
Yeah, he was.
Come on.
You got to let me finish. The ad was all about the car, and then they showed Brady. Like, they said something like, even this guy would drive it. And he turned to the camera and was like, who, me? And then it would go back to the car. So he wasn't endorsing the car, like saying, buy the Dodge Dart. It's a great car, right? Blah, 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 blah. But he was in the commercial enough to have a presence in the commercial. That's what Brady does.
Or maybe he did do all those lines. They just cut them because he was Rocky.
Yeah, he couldn't, yeah. Talk about the smooth handling of the car and the fact that it has four tires and a steering wheel.
Yeah, he could have been doing that. Just gave up.
Yeah, just said, oh, that's enough. Just turn to the camera and say, who, me? Oh, it's good enough for us. We'll do the rest. We'll do all the talking. But you're right. Peyton Manning is the best at the ads. I mean, whether it's MasterCard, you know, the whole cut that meat, you know, whatever it is that he's done fantastic. He's really good.
Obviously, the best, one of the best Saturday Night Live.
He's one of the best Saturday Night Live athlete hosts of all time.
I still can't get over the schoolyard football, kid football.
Yeah, the United Way. Oh my God, it's
that
hilarious!
Just blew our minds away when we first saw it. Like, can he actually do that?
Yeah, and he said afterwards that he had all of these parents come up to him and was like, "You need to hit my kid in the face with the football." He's like, well, I don't really want to. He goes, no, do it. Hit my kid in the face with the football.
God, how awesome
he's
would
good.
That be if somebody came up to you and was like, yes, I really want you to drill this ball into my son.
Exactly. And he goes, like, we were using softballs, but it was still, you know, still amazing that these parents would come up to me and want me to throw the football.
Yeah, because he could throw the ball.
Yeah,
he doesn't matter if it's soft.
I mean,
he can still sling it.
He was... I like it because there is no athlete has a better level of self-deprecating humor than Peyton Manning. And what I see with Gronkowski is that he knows exactly who he is and he knows exactly how he's perceived. So that whole ad of him just going boom and pow and flexing a muscle and dumping a whole bottle of other detergent, he knows who he is. He knows that this is how people perceive him. He's a fun party guy.
He's a party caveman.
Right? He's a party caveman, and he's playing that up. And I think that's brilliant on his part, just like for whatever reason. And here's the deal. Manning has no business doing self-deprecating humor. He's one of the greatest athletes we've ever had in the history of sports in terms of playing that. Nobody was more cerebral at playing the quarterback position than Manning. And he's one of the all-time great athlete celebrities we've ever had, and there's no reason for him to do any sort of, like, I do self-deprecating humor because I'm fat and, you know, whatever, but there's no reason for Manning to do it, and he does it all the time. He does those ads all the time. You know, even the ad of where they're walking through the sports center and they're kicking each other, and yep. Archie has to look behind them to get them to stop, and he's like, "Look over here, it's him."
And it was at
that
moment
classic.
Too. In that moment too, you noticed one of the first things I noticed was that Peyton Manning is a lot more comfortable doing this than Eli.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Because Eli just looks so uncomfortable, even though it's like he's like, "You guys are just being brothers, just pick on each other."
Yeah, and Eli would rather do ads. Eli would rather do like. You know, something fancy, like he'd rather do commercials in New York for banks or
right.
mutual funds
nothing
restaurant
gimmicky or comedy.
Right. Exactly. And Peyton tends to do, you know, he does these insurance commercials where he's sitting in a thing going and get your deductible. And like, he's okay with that. He's whatever they want him to do. Or I guarantee you, he's been in those meetings saying, "Oh yeah, I'll do that. I'll
What's the point of baby shoes. It's a useless gift.
It's a useless gift. Get him a life insurance policy." I love it. I mean, it's great, but that's what I felt like with Gronk. I felt like when I was watching the Tide commercial, I thought I could see a lot of companies racing to him saying, I've got things I want you to pitch. I want you to do it in that style.
You know, he'll probably end up getting typecasted, but you can put him in especially a college movie.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Maybe he replaces Ogre if they ever did a remake of Revenge of the Nerds.
Oh, yeah, completely.
Nerds!
He'd be great. He would be great. I could see him doing, Ruth's Chris commercials, right? Like he's at a fancy steakhouse or something,
yes.
And he angles that in a certain way. He could make diamonds. He could sell diamonds. Like, guys, when you want to buy your girl a ring, it's the possibilities are endless, and they run the complete spectrum.
He crushes a piece of coal with his bare hand, and out comes a diamond because he's so
completely
strong.
That's a great idea. That's a great idea if you're a diamond company.
Gronk
and you have Gronk squeezing it and just showing the diamond. And then he gives him that look like, yeah, you know.
We got you back, Gronk. We can market you perfectly.
Put a pretty girl next to him that's just amazed that he was able to get a diamond out of his grip. Oh, you got a winner. Got a commercial winner right there. 800-777-2907 is the number if you want to join us to talk about last night's game, especially the Chargers and the boldness that they had. But coming up next, a one-woman fan outrage at a certain sports situation. I'll tell you what it is next on SB Nation AM.
This is Mike Hersing from Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our friends at Jeep. Got a tip today to help make it a safe holiday. Folks, the holiday shopping season has begun, and most of us really don't realize how dangerous parking lots can be. 1 in 5 auto accidents happen in parking lots. The Safety Council says it's because drivers aren't paying attention. Yeah. It seems that since we're driving in a parking lot, it's okay to talk and text. The numbers say that 1/3 of the drivers are on the phone when they're looking for a parking space. That seems about right, since 60,000 people are injured in parking lots every year. I used to tell my kids that people drive like idiots in parking lots, and it looks like the numbers say the same thing. So please, please be aware when you're shopping, because not only do you have to worry about being robbed, you have to worry about being run over. Please be aware and make it a safe holiday season. This is Mike Hersey from Let's Talk Wheels. We're brought to you by our friends at Jeep. For more tips, go to letstalkwheels.com. That's letstalkwheels.com.
I'm dreaming of a white Christmas.
It's the Jeep Big Finish event. The perfect time to get a great deal on capable Jeep brand vehicles. But why limit yourself to a white Christmas when you can take in breathtaking red rocks with Jeep Cherokee's available legendary 4x4 capability? Head towards blue waters with Jeep Compass's innovative technology and connectivity. Check out a shimmering light show in Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever. Or make it a white one through snow-covered hills in Jeep Wrangler 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Hurry into the Jeep Big Finish event for great deals and make your next adventure the most colorful ever. Jeep Grand Cherokee has received more awards over its lifetime than any other SUV. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
This is SB Nation AM,
on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. We're close, convenient, known for our guaranteed everyday low prices and excellent customer service. For professional parts people you can trust, stop by your local O'Reilly Auto Parts today. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Yesterday, we told you the story how Robert Sarver, the owner of the Phoenix Suns, is basically putting the city, taking the city hostage for $150 million, saying he'll move the team to Seattle or Las Vegas if he doesn't get money for renovations for his arena. So the Phoenix City Council was supposed to vote on Wednesday, but not before they heard from citizens. Here is Greta Rogers, who just basically doled it out to Sarver on the public floor at the city council meeting. Oh, Greta, you stole my heart. Take it away.
Mr. Sarver has done nothing to improve this team in the 14 years he's owned it. He's never funded or bought. Paid for two or three key players, which make any sports team, professional sports team, successful or on the road to success. He's so tight, he squeaks when he walks. And you have been negotiating with this kind of person? Shame on each and all of you. And upon you, Ed, I thought your principles were higher and better than this. We are not in the business of paying taxes to support private enterprise, and especially not an entertainment enterprise. They can support themselves or fail on their own lack of diligence.
Well done. Well said. Well done, Greta. I like how she had to throw in the fact that the team stinks because he's the owner. It's one thing when you're like, even a successful team that's winning championships, we don't want to put $150 million to it. But he doesn't even buy the right players. He doesn't even get any players to build success. Now he wants our money. Ah, it is, he's so tight, he squeaks when he walks. That's kind of a nice little insult. She could have gone a little deeper with that. But you know what? I think she wanted to keep it civil at the city council meeting. Well done, Greta Rogers. I wonder if Robert Sarver was listening or if he even cares. He's ready to move that team to Seattle.
Nah, she seemed more in tune with just wanting to prove her point and not blast Robert Sarver.
Exactly.
Because, again, she's not really – it's not really beef against Robert Sarver. It's beef against the city council for wanting to negotiate.
Yeah, for doing this in the first place.
You know, and even suggesting – hey, we can keep the Phoenix Suns here and help them finance a new stadium. All it's going to cost you is, you know, city of Phoenix, is everyone's got to pony up a little bit more money.
Yep. And it's always that. It's such a weird precedent because it's these people go to the trough all the time and it's never going to be enough. There'll always be some other project that they need to build or some other thing that they need. And they'll just keep going and going thinking you'll never let this team leave. And that's the disheartening thing is I used to say this about Jerry Jones, and I think it's true. One of the things that I respect about Jerry Jones, and I know he's got his detractors, and I understand all of it. And if you're, and I'm not a Cowboys fan, so I don't know the agony of some of the decisions that he's made and all of those things. But the one thing that I say about Jerry Jones that is true is he seems to be a guy that really does want to, he loves the team as much as you love the team. Right. He's as in it as you are in it as a fan. Right. And that's what makes him, I think, one of the better owners, not the general manager part, but just the fact like he built his stadium to be the biggest, most incredible stadium at its time. Because if you're a Cowboys fan, that's what you deserve. The best practice facility, of course, were the Dallas Cowboys. And if you're a fan of that team, you're proud of that owner because he's willing to say, you know what? We're not like everybody else. We're different. We're special. And we deserve special things. We deserve better things than everybody else. And at least as a fan, you can understand and appreciate that. But when the owner is like, it doesn't matter to me whether I stay here or move somewhere else. This is $150 million. In a billion-dollar enterprise, that's nothing.
but he's willing to move a franchise away from a city because of it, or at least he's threatening to do it. And even threatening to do it reminds you he's not as in it as you're in it. And that stinks when your owner is like that. When you, to your owner, it's just a matter of X's and O's and businesses, right? It's just a matter of things on a spreadsheet. Whereas with some owners, it's everything. Mark Cuban is the same way. He loves the Mavericks and wants you to love the Mavericks as much as he does. Or he wants to help you love the Mavericks even more than you already do. And I think that's the key to a good owner. But when an owner like Robert Sarver doesn't put an investment into the team to make it better, and then crows, oh, I need $150 million for renovations, or I'll just move to Seattle. It's like, wait a minute, hold on. Do you even care of what kind of fabric this is? Like, do you even care how interwoven this team is to the city of Phoenix? The Phoenix Suns were the first professional franchise to be in Arizona at a time where they barely had air conditioning. I mean, give me a break. They've been around forever in the desert when it wasn't a viable place to live. Now everybody moves there. Everybody loves going to Phoenix. Everybody loves the dry air. But back in the 70s, who wanted to live in Arizona, for crying out loud? Who wanted to live in Phoenix? And the Suns had a franchise there. It's as interwoven into that city's growth as anything. Man, I remember when I was in mid-90s, I wanted to move to Arizona. I ended up moving to Las Vegas instead, but I wanted to move to the desert. It was cool. It seemed like a really cool thing, kind of a cool step in my... But the Phoenix Suns were there first. Before any franchise ever moved there, the Phoenix Suns were there first. And now he's just casually going, yeah, I'll have to move him to Seattle or Vegas, whatever. I can see why people are really ripped. We're going to talk NFL coming up. John McMullen's going to join us next. We'll get his rundown on the take from last night's game as well as this weekend's games next.
Every day can't be hat day.
Take off your hat.
Stop worrying about your hairline today by visiting forhims.com/cheer. That's forhims.com/cheer. Back to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us, SB Nation AM, on a Friday. The Chargers beat the Chiefs last night 29-28. Full games this weekend. A lot of playoff implications. Well, not really. We're getting closer and closer to where it's all shaken out. John McMullen joins us. He is from everywhere. John, what do you do these days? Well, you're like an all sorts of, you're like a media giant now. What's going on with you?
Yeah, I'm on Old Takes Exposed as well. So man,
oh my God, you're great.
mainly I'm on the air every day at ESPN South Jersey in the Philadelphia area, but also writes all over the place.
Yeah, absolutely. And last night's takeaway, is there a takeaway? I mean, these two good teams, one of them had to win, one of them made a gutsy call at the end. But what's the biggest takeaway you get from last night?
Biggest takeaway is I think that's the two best teams in the AFC, at least from a talent perspective, and sort of a heavyweight fight. I'm a little disappointed, to be honest. It was on a Thursday night. I know people like it, standalone game, first time in a while we've had a good matchup on Thursday night, and at least in a couple weeks. But I always like to see two good teams have a full week of preparation in that type of situation. And who knows if the Chargers could have got some of the running backs healthy. Tyreek Hill was able to go, obviously, but who knows how much better he would have been on a Sunday with the extra days of rest. So I'm hoping we see number three down the road because, as I said, I think those are the two most gifted teams in the AFC.
I got to ask you this question now because I'm going to forget. We were actually having a conversation about this. If the AFC Championship game is hosted by the Chargers, do they move that out of the StubHub Center or do they have to play it there?
No, they have to play it there. That's their home stadium. And it would be interesting. I would like to see Los Angeles at least embrace them for that type of environment. I think, you know, in a romantic way, maybe it would be even a little bit exciting to see it in an intimate venue, something of that nature. Obviously, that's a long way down the road. But, yeah, I mean, you have the AFC Championship in obviously – the home team stadium, and that's their home stadium for now. This league, it's not like this league is above throwing a curveball. And if the Chargers said they would agree to have it at the Coliseum or something of that nature, there's nothing in the rule book that says they couldn't do it. But I wouldn't do it if I were the Chargers.
Yeah, play it in the 30,000-seat stadium and get a little bit more intimate, I guess, for the AFC Championship. That'd be kind of neat. Give me an idea of the way you see. Now, we're all going to watch the AFC fight for this one wild card spot. Four teams with the Ravens, the Colts, the Dolphins, the Titans. The Steelers, if they lose, will be in that mix again if Baltimore takes up. Who's in the best shape? Who do you like going in? Who's the hottest team going in? What is your take of the race for that last spot?
Well, it is up in the air, and obviously this league, we talk about it all the time. It's a week-to-week league, and things are fluid. And one week you look like you're on top of the world. The next week you look like the worst team in existence. It happens to organizations all over this league. I do like what Baltimore has done in the wake of Joe Flacco's injury and sort of becoming a run-first team with Lamar Jackson. I don't know if it's sustainable long-term. Because I think you take too much punishment. So maybe over a 5-year span, that thing's not going to work. But, for short term, I think they're going to make the playoffs. And it might even, as you mentioned, Pittsburgh's coming back to the pack. So it might even be as AFC North champions. But I think either way, that's the one team I look at in that collective group. And I say, that looks like a playoff team.
What is going on with Pittsburgh? What do you hear about the Steelers in this 3-game slide? And it's all, look, Broncos on the road made mistakes, collapsing in the second half against Los Angeles and the Chargers. The Raiders game, just, you know, a team that they should have beat but played down to their level. What are you hearing about the Steelers as we get down to the final 3 games? A team that was in the power five, you know, top 5 in a lot of people's power rankings. What's going on with Pittsburgh?
Well, I think, you know, it's sort of like the chicken and egg thing when everybody talks about run-pass ratio. And early in the season, I think Connor was playing so well, people kind of dismissed not having Le'Veon Bell as one of the better three-down backs in football. Now you kind of see as we get later, you don't have the balance you would like. And that's really not important when you're successful. When you're unsuccessful, it seems to be very important. And let's be honest, when you throw the football all over the field, there's more opportunity for bad things to happen. There's more opportunity for good things to happen. But to me, the Steelers, you think of the old school Steelers, defense, running game, that's not them. And
yeah.
So I think you're going to see a little bit more inconsistency, and that's what you're seeing.
When you look at the way the NFL has had so much fun talking about the offenses, right, all the high-flying offenses, but over the last few weeks we're starting to see defenses coming back. The Cowboys are identified as having a good defense, the Bears and what they did to the Rams last Sunday night. How much is that going to be a factor going into the postseason, or do you still think and believe in some of the higher-scoring offenses as teams that are going to go deeper into the playoffs?
Well, I think a lot of it is dependent on matchups. If you have to go to Soldier Field in December, January, and it's cold and windy, you might have some issues if you're the Los Angeles Rams or the New Orleans Saints. But if you have to go to the Superdome in January, good luck with Mitchell Trubisky. So that's why
yeah.
you fight. That's why you fight all year to get home field. So. A lot of it is environment. Foxborough would be another example how difficult over the years it is to go in there in January and try to win a football game. So I think that's it. I think when we look at the NFL as a whole, I don't see any one dominant team. I think everybody could get beat if they don't bring their A game on a particular Sunday. But I think the closest lock would be New Orleans. If you have to go through the Superdome in the NFC side, I don't like anybody else's chance.
Are you reluctant to embrace the league is changing? This is the way offenses are going to be. It's going to dominate. The rules are making it easier for this to happen. The players are playing in this capacity. Are you reluctant to join that, or do you think that is where we're going with this league?
It's definitely where we're going. I don't necessarily like it. I mean, that's up to every individual. In fact, I dislike it. I think we saw it again last night. There's so many flags, referees. We saw it on Monday night with the big picked-up flag, which changed the outcome of the game. We saw it in Dallas, Philadelphia. A lot of bad situations in that game. They're trying to do everything possible to have points scored, but they can't do anything about the weather in Chicago. In the Northeast, in December, January. They'd like to because they want high scoring and high powered and fantasy football numbers and everybody excited about these historic passing numbers. So that's what the league wants and that's what they're getting. But things change when the weather changes and that helps a team like Chicago, but they have to play at home. Again, if you're playing in the Superdome, or if that game with the Rams is in the LA Coliseum, completely different game. And I just don't think, and that's if you're asking me what is the best unit in professional football, I would tell you Chicago's defense. But I don't think they have a chance because I don't think the quarterback can hold up in a situation where they need to score. And I'm not talking about 30 points. 20 points.
Yeah. Give me a take on the Eagles. I mean, it's a team you're more familiar with in terms of Carson Wentz's injury and then Nick Foles coming back in. I don't know. Spark 6-7. What is their what is the team in general? What's the state of the team as we speak?
Well, they're still in it, amazingly, but I think that has more to do with competition than anything else. I mean, this team could make the playoffs at 8-8. So they can afford to lose in Los Angeles, still beat Houston at home, still beat Washington, which is on their fourth-string quarterback in Week 17, and make the playoffs at 8-8. And that's because Carolina has two games against the Saints. The Vikings are absolutely a train wreck moving on from their offensive coordinator in Week 15. I don't know if those teams are going to win again. Carolina might beat Atlanta, but they're probably not going to beat the Saints unless the Saints check out. So it's still unlikely that the Eagles could make the playoffs, and it's even more unlikely now that Nick Foles has to play. But the competition is so bad, they might back in.
John McMullen, always good talking to you, my friend. Again, you can catch him at TSN, all sorts of different publications and on the radio down in South Jersey. Always good talking to you, man.
Hey, thanks, Tony. Appreciate it.
You got it. John McMullen talking a little NFL. Covers mostly the Eagles, and that's an interesting situation because they're playing the Rams this week. And if you remember last year, I don't know if it was about this time. It was December. Then Nick Foles had to take over, and then they never looked back and won the Super Bowl. Now, the thing about last year that's different, obviously, was the record. The Eagles were a red-hot football team all year long. And then the question was, could Nick Foles keep it going? And he kept it going into the postseason. This is a different team. This is a team that is going to be 8-8. If they were to make the playoffs, they'd be playing all of their games on the road. This would, you know, if they go nine, you know, should win three out and go 9-7, it would probably be the same scenario. So it's obviously a different path for them if they were to get the spark from Foles again. But I feel for Carson Wentz because last year was the knee. Now it's a back. They say it's, you know, healable if he has some rest. So we'll see where that's going. But it's interesting how you got, you know, back-to-back seasons of this kind of scenario playing out, even if the records are different. Steelers and Patriots coming up on Sunday. I joke about it last year, but Jesse James had a touchdown called back that would have given the Steelers a win against the Patriots last year. And instead, the Steelers had to get another offensive play, and Ben Roethlisberger threw a pick in the end zone that sealed the victory for the Patriots. And that gave them home field advantage. It didn't matter. The Steelers couldn't get by Jacksonville anyway. I think in that game, they were overlooking the Jags to their matchup with the Patriots. But as a Steelers fan, let me tell you, this is a game. I look forward to it every year when it's on the schedule, and I don't know why. It's like trying to ask the same girl out over and over again, and she says no. They never win this game. They never win this game. And yet every year it's like, oh, maybe this is the year. This is the year that girl will finally say yes to my invitation to the dance. But this isn't. The Steelers will play the Patriots. The Patriots will do some things that will befuddle the Steelers, and the Steelers may catch back and fight back, and then they'll blow it in the end. This is a record that just plays over and over again. But still, it's one of the top games this weekend. 800-777-2907 on SB Nation Radio.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
I liked our conversation yesterday about the Foo Fighters. I like the Foo Fighters. By the way, yes or no, April here at Bridgestone Arena in Nashville, Kiss. Should I go see them?
Yes.
I think I should, right? I've never seen
I'm
Kiss.
Under the same debate right now. I asked my wife, I said, you know what, I don't like telling you Christmas presents, but I just wanted her honest opinion, because coming next June, it will be, in Houston, will be Hootie and the Blowfish.
Oh, yeah, I saw Hootie and the Blowfish when I was in South Carolina.
I was like, God, that actually, and the opening act is Bare Naked Ladies. I'm like, dude, we can totally have a 90s night.
Yeah, that would be great. I talked to Darius Rucker on this very network when South Carolina made it to the Final Four.
Nice.
Because he's he's obviously a South Carolina. No, well, I saw Hootie and the Blowfish. I kid you not. Here's my Hootie and the Blowfish story. When I was at South Carolina, a buddy of mine said, "Hey, we're going to go to this bar," and I was underage and I couldn't get in. But I got snuck in. But it was to see a band, and it was Hootie and the Blowfish. And he told me, he's like, "Ah, no, this is Columbia's own, man. They're really good." And I'm like, oh, okay, cool. I never heard of them. I just freshman year in college, right? Never heard of them. Went to go see them. House band, really good, fun, good time. Years later, I want to say 4 or 5 years later, I was working at a radio station. And you know, record companies do a lot of cool promotions. And they'll send like DJs and radio stations the disc, and it comes with really cool things. And the record company for Hootie and the Blowfish promoting them sent a Dr. Seuss book that said on the cover, "One Fish, Two Fish, Hootie and the Blowfish." And it was basically get you to play songs. And I remember going, oh my God, Hootie and the Blowfish. I saw them in Columbia. And then they became a hit. They became a huge band. But I saw them and they were a house band. So Rucker was like they found him. They had to get him on because they said, listen, Tony's big South Carolina fan. Final Four, we got to share it. And he basically put on a concert if the football team went above 500 in Will Muschamp's first year. That's how desperate he was to get some excitement brewing for the football team. But the women won the national championship that year, and it was a big year for South Carolina.
Why not?
Yeah. I want to go see Kiss. I was a Kiss kid when I was younger. I was a Kiss everything. I had Kiss color forms and a lunchbox and T-shirt. And I don't think I had a T-shirt. We had, puzzles, anything, coloring books. I mean, Kiss was on everything. I was a total Kiss kid. My father had the 8-tracks, Ace Frehley solo album, Back in the New York Groove. And now they're coming to Bridgestone Arena in April. So family members, if you're looking for the great gift, they put on a great show. I should see them. So yes, on the Kiss, you should definitely go see Hootie.
Yes, that's what I'm leaning towards.
Kiss, I'll go see them. SB Nation Radio.